Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sing it, everybody. The Boston Red Sox are in the playoffs. Sports the Max is on the air. News Talk 830 WCCO. So I want to throw a theory at you, and then I want you to react to it and see if there's any merit to it. This is the theory. Jimmy Butler is the disgruntled Minnesota Timberwolf player, and it's hard to get behind him, sympathetically speaking, because he's made millions of dollars, and he'll make millions more, and I find it disrespectful that he did not come into training camp this year. I don't care that you're not happy, and I don't care that you don't like your situation or that you weren't traded. You still signed a contract. You knew what you signed up for, and that's what you do. You play under the terms of the contract, and then if they trade you, you know, you can certainly you go in and to Glenn Taylor or Tom Thibodeau and share your angst with them. If they want to trade you, they can trade you. If not, that's the way it goes. But one of the theories, and I talk to a lot of people every day, all the time, inside these organizations. This is one of the theories, that Jimmy Butler just needs a hug. And if you go dig a little bit deeper on that, and this is where it gets interesting. They said, follow the life of Jimmy Butler. This kid was homeless for a bit. To an extent, he grew up on the streets of Houston, never thought twice that he'd be a great basketball player, started playing on the playgrounds. Got to be just good enough that he got recruited to a community college down there. And then he grew and his skill set took over, and pretty soon he was being recruited. He ended up at Marquette. Never thought that he'd get a scholarship to play basketball. Good enough at Marquette that he was taken late in the first round by the Chicago Bulls, and it was there that he moved his way up and flourished. And the theory is that Jimmy has a problem with, the guys that get a lot of the money up top, Karl-Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins, not that he understands it. But the fact that he's worked his way up and clawed his way up, and he believes that he should get that money. And B, flat-out fear of abandonment, fear of rejection. You know, he grew up in a situation where he felt rejected probably or abandoned probably by people in his family that he probably didn't get to know or found out he couldn't count on, etc. And that supersedes no matter how much money you make, no matter what you achieve in life, no matter how much success you have, that if you're scarred as a kid, it will follow you around, and it doesn't matter. You can't outdo it. You can't beat it. You will always feel this gap, this void, this something, because at some point in time in your life, somebody, for whatever reason, but you interpreted it as, I'm not good enough, why don't they want me around kind of thing. Does that make any sense, or does that fly with any of y'all? 612-989-9226, 651-989-9226. They're not asking to cut him a break. They're saying, but you kind of got to understand where he came from. You know, Towns, Wiggins, they come from very stable families. Mom and dad have a place here in town for both of them. You know, Towns' dad coached him. Wiggins' dad was an NBA player. He and his wife have been married 32 years. So they come from very stable environments. But what would you say if you got to talk to Jimmy Butler and tell him what you thought right now? What would you tell him about the way that he's acted? Do you give him any credence to this? Do you think in theory that makes some sense, that it doesn't matter how much money you make? You got to look at if you're scarred emotionally at some point in your life, you can hide it as long as you want. You can try to masquerade it or camouflage it, but it's always right there, right beneath the surface. And sometimes in this case, in the form of Jimmy Butler, it rears its ugly head because he demands a trade, what he really wants is somebody just to say, Jimmy, you're good enough, man. We love you. We want you around. And that's what ultimately his goal is to have somebody say to him, man, you're important, man. You're an important person. You matter. You can act tough guy. You can do all these things. You can make it look like you play on the streets and nobody intimidates Jimmy Butler and you're in your face. You can do all that stuff. But at the end of the day, there's still that little boy that's wondering why he was rejected at some point in time. 612-989-9226, 651-989-9226. What would you say if you had a chance to talk to Jimmy Butler? What would you tell him? You know, certainly there'd have to be a paragraph or a chapter there about Jimmy. You got to understand what appreciation means. And appreciation is you were given gifts that many people don't have. Long arms, long legs, ability to do the, and obviously you have a mental capacity that you're able to take this and play with a tenacity and do some wonderful things and achieve some wonderful things. But if you're going to be down about not getting enough love, then you also have to be appreciative and have enough gratitude for what you have got in life. You're living the charmed life. You're in L.A. You're doing this. You're doing that. I don't know, but sometimes you almost feel sorry for these guys, and they've been given everything. 612-989-9226, 651-989-9226. Let's go to Donnie on line one. Donnie, you're on.
Well, Mike, it's a really interesting point that you raise. You know, I think, you know, it's easy to judge in the outside of things. You know, I'm not sure how much, you know, when you extrapolate, I'm not sure, you know, how much of that is true, but it's a great insight. I mean, for example, just contrast Kirk Cousins' behavior with Butler. I mean,
great, like, great comparison. Cousins is grateful for everything.
Yeah, night and day.
And he comes from an incredibly stable family.
Yeah, Joe Maurer, same thing. You know, I heard Joe's last day, and in 1 minute, he said thank you and appreciation about 17 times, probably set a world's record. But your question about what do you say? See, that, you know, I've been teaching coach about over 40 years, Mike, and I'll tell you, it's, you know, it's almost naive that when people think that you're going to get somebody for a season or whatever, that's going to somehow change, you know, 20, 15, 10 years of their lives. It happens, but it's not really the norm. So everything you're saying is true just about mental health, about getting help to deal with those issues, because, you know, what you don't deal with, you know, Mike, it just comes back like a bad weed.
It does, man, and we have good days, so we think that we're over it, then we can't believe it rears its head again, but it always does, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, people's pasts are stunning, and I just think that...
And the way they interpret things that happen to them in their lives.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the most obscene things that people have is self-pity. It's just obscene.
Yep.
You know, you can always find 1,000,000,000 people.
And I'll count myself in that group, too, by the way.
Well, we're all that way. You know,
yeah, I mean, I feel sorry for myself when I have nothing to feel sorry about, you know. It just angers me with myself, you know. Hey, Donnie, we got a couple more callers, but thanks for the call. I always appreciate the insight. Let's go to Don. Not Donnie, but Don on line two. Don, you're on.
I'm on, yeah. I understand Butler's frustration because Towns and Wiggins get paid big money and they aren't producing enough. They don't know how to win without him.
Right. Yeah, I think that's what the root of some of this is. Yeah.
I think it's all the root of it.
But he can only get paid what the union allows him to under the collective bargaining agreement, so he has to wait his turn.
But those guys got to play harder. They got to learn to win. You play to win. Those guys get paid big bucks, supposed to be stars, step up, win the games.
And you think that's where Butler's angst is from?
Yeah, he doesn't want to keep losing.
No, he doesn't, but he also can get his ass into training camp and show that he cares enough to be there because he signed a contract, because that's part of life, too.
I agree with that, but he should have been traded then.
Yeah, but you can't trade him if you can't get value back, you know?
But the root of the problem is Wiggins and Towns, they just aren't that good. They need to win. They don't know how to win without him. They didn't win without him. They started winning, and in the playoffs, they didn't show up.
Right. I hear you, Don. Thanks for your call. 612-989-9226, 651-989-9226. Let's go to Mark on line three. Mark, you're on.
Hey, Maxie, you beautiful man. How are you tonight?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. I want to stay on task with your thought there. I've got two thoughts on the on where you started out with this conversation. I think, number one, I think that he hates losing more than he likes winning.
I'm not sure that's a bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's his driver. I think he hates losing more than he enjoys winning because he hasn't won enough. He hasn't gotten to that point where he could even step back and enjoy winning. I think that's number one. I think that's one of his drivers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And from his background, he seems to have a little bit of a self-sabotage in him, where if things get good, he'll figure out a way to to bite himself and kind of shoot himself in the foot on it. That's from where you started with the topic tonight. That's kind of my thought process on it, because you know, we all know people like that, and his driver is, he hates to lose more than he likes to win, because he hasn't won enough to enjoy it. And from his background, if things get good, he kind of figures out a way how he can mess it up, because he doesn't feel he deserves it.
I appreciate the call very much. And yeah, we're going down the road here that we almost need a professional person to come in, but I think you're onto something there. I think there's lots of confusing things and mixed messages that get in guys' heads once they get a lot of money and fame at a young age. Because there's an hour of their day where they feel on top of the world and so cool, and here come the women and blah, 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 and everything they need, anything they want to buy, they can buy. And then there's those hours when they go, what did I do to deserve this? There's a whole bunch of people in my neighborhood, they didn't get out of the neighborhood. Here I am with this. Why did I deserve this? And then there's another hour where they go, I deserve more because so-and-so got this. And I think that leads to a really confusing day, really confusing moments for some of them. 612-989-9226, 651-989-9226. Because I think that there are temporary joy in this. When you win a game, when you play really well, when you do something well, that keeps you fueled as well. But there are nights and days where you just can't figure this whole thing out. You can't figure out socioeconomic systems. You can't figure out, like I said, maybe why your parents weren't there for you. Why are these other guys' parents here to give them a hug after the game, and mine, they haven't been with me since I was a young kid, you know? I think that's tough stuff for those guys. I think Jimmy tries to hide it by being a tough guy. His way is, you know, I'm going to talk trash. I'm going to do all these things. I'm going to show you how it's done. I'm going to show you how to win, all these things. And maybe deep down there's some scars there, some something that it's hard for us to identify with. But my advice to him would be there's a lot of joy to be had every day when you get up. There's a lot of stuff in your life that you've got that most people don't. And if you start there and then deal with the issues aren't going to be that big. If you start with gratitude and joy, then the other stuff that you got to take on will seem secondary, because you'll realize how lucky and blessed you are. Yeah, you can be incredibly lucky and blessed and deal with the problem. Let's go to Carl on line one. Carl, you're on.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I don't think it boils down to why my parents weren't there. I'm a tough guy. I just think sometimes, you know, people feel like when you voice your opinion, and sometimes when you voice your opinion, you're a certain color, and you're acting like a tough guy. I think the guys are trying to say, look, this is what I deserve. This is what I want. I don't agree how he went about it in practice, you know, upstaging his team and things, but I think he needs a better way of communicating, but I don't think it makes him a tough guy, or, you know, just because he grew up without parents. I don't know if that factors in here. So that's all I have to say.
Appreciate the call. I just think you carry that stuff with you every day. Whatever it was that you realize or don't realize was a part of your childhood, I think you carry with you every day, whether you know it or not. And a lot of times people from the outside can see it real easy and you can't see it. I think it's true for all of us. It's just a question of what you're carrying with you. Let's go to Andrea quickly. Andrea, we got time for to work you in real quick. What do you got?
Okay. I work with people and I have a degree in psychology. And the new thing is, and it's not really new, but it's becoming more known as adverse childhood experiences. It's called ACEs. Mm-hmm. And if you look it up anywhere, you can Google it, ACEs Minnesota, ACEs Iowa. It'll talk about as many adverse experiences that children have rewires their brain to be more in the amygdala. So they have more of a startled response, a quicker to act. The executive function of the brain is shut down for that time period.
Break it down so that in English, so that those of us that...
Okay. So when you have adverse childhood experiences, it blocks your decision-making part of your brain, and you go to a reactive response instead whenever you're faced with a situation or confronted with something. And so they have to relearn how to... make the executive function work, because all their life they've been, people will say he goes from 0 to 60, but right. Really he's been running at 55 the whole time.
So a quick question, just because do you believe, and I've just had this conversation a couple weeks ago, Do you believe that we can rewire brains easily, difficult, possible, not possible?
Oh, it's very possible in this instance, because people do learn. There is a lot of techniques and therapies that teach people exercises to rewire the brain so they aren't in that responsive stage where they're reacting to everything around them. And I think that's very possible what happens, because kids who grow up homeless have a lot of trauma and they have a lot of issues with that.
Who knows what they saw? Yeah, and by the way, who knows what they saw, right?
Right, and they're in a defensive mode. They're in that safe mode where they're
Yeah, you're making my point. I appreciate this call, Andrea.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, thank you for calling in. Call in again sometime.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Speaking my language, she's a doctor in psychology. I got my minor in psychology from Hamlin.
That's why I was wondering why you said to do it in English, because I know you were...
For you, because you're sitting in here tonight, and you're from Wisconsin.
Oh.
I tried to help you out, and you throw it right in my face. Well, of course you didn't figure that out.
Not from Wisconsin.
Of course you couldn't figure out why I did that. It makes all sense in the world now, right? You couldn't make the leap that I did that for you, because why? Because it goes back to the original point.
Because you don't usually
You went to Wisconsin. Yeah. Explore expanded collections from the top luxury watch brands at Wixon Jewelers Watch Fair, October 26th and 27th. The Wixon Jewelers time is 6:50. I'm nothing else if not funny, Jerry. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.